Well, grace to you. Good to see the saints gathered and some of the ain'ts. I'll be preaching to both tonight. I've been, by His grace, doing the work of an evangelist for 30-some years. So when I preach this, it's kind of coming from an evangelistic, maybe a witnessing, soul-winning side. The witness and the soul winner, I'm going to use the word persuaded a lot tonight, from the Scriptures. When Paul was talking to King Agrippa, he says, "You're almost persuading me." So hopefully for you here tonight or aren't persuaded that salvation is by Christ, by grace, I pray that God would give me the words from His Word to persuade you. Amen. And for us that know we should be witnessing, and we do witness, but that, you know, my heart's desire is, Lord, that I want to be a soul winner. 12:3 of Daniel says that, those that lead many to righteousness shall shine as the firmaments in the brightness forever. I remember reading that by Spurgeon 30 years ago. I says, Lord, make me a soul winner. Oh, I am a witness. I got a testimony. Christ saved me. I have a witness, but Lord, make me a soul winner. Let me persuade men. So a little bit of tonight will be persuading for the gospel's sake, for you that don't have the gospel, and persuading those that want to make Christ known, that we have persuading grace. Are we persuading men? You know, so let me have a prayer. Father, we just thank You. I thank You, Lord, more than anything. You persuaded me, Holy Spirit, through the Word, of who Christ is and what He has done and who I am, Lord. And I thank You for that, Lord. And, Holy Spirit, just bless tonight that those that are still lost here would be persuaded the truth of as it is in You, Christ, and the gospel. And for us that have been persuaded, Lord, that would be persuaded that men are lost, Lord. I mean, they're lost. And they're going to be lost forever, Lord. And they're lost. And, Lord, You can persuade us to care for their souls, Lord. So I thank You, Father, that You're the Lord of the harvest and You send forth laborers into Your harvest. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You came to seek and save the lost on this earth, Lord. Thank You for sending the Holy Spirit, who mightily convicts us and convinces us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So I thank You, our great Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So bless these words tonight, Lord. And even in spite of me, in Your wonderful name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay, turn to Luke 16. I'm from Pittsburgh. Greetings from the saints in Pittsburgh, and they're doing the study at the house tonight, too. Son Bob, if you know him, he's probably teaching in Chad. Maybe some of you guys know him, too. And Joe just preached up here. Joe's going to Cambodia tomorrow for about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to make Christ known, to be a missionary, to help a small church there. So keep Joe in prayer for the next couple weeks. Cambodia is a tough mission field. I mean, they're tough Buddhists there. You know, and Joe's going to need a lot of grace when he gets there. But God's a God of all grace. He's able to make Joe stand, you know. So, and man, that has been the hardest people in the United States for me in these last 30-some years of evangelizing is the Buddhists. I pray for them. I need wisdom for them. And it's just hard to get them anywhere. It's almost like they believe in nothingness or became from nothing, and we're all nothing, and nothing is nothing. And it's like, you know, it's like, no, God's there. The material earth is here. God created it. You know it. You need God. You know, and He's not a God of nothingness. He's a God of everything. God of all grace. So I'm saying these things to encourage Joe to witness when he goes over there. We were going over witnessing to the Buddhists, you know. But they've probably been the hardest people for me in this country for the last 30-some years. I remember a Buddhist girl in Washington, D.C. one time. I gave a Bible to her and she thanked me. I preached to her and she listened. She listened about creation, Joe. She thanked me for telling her about Jesus Christ, and she wasn't persuaded yet. And she thanked me for the Bible, and I prayed for her, and I was back maybe a month later in D.C. and I seen her again. I said, "How are you doing with the Bible?" She says, "I'm doing terrific with it." I say, "Well, what are you reading in it?" She says, "Oh, I don't read it. I got it on the shrine next to Buddha. I bow my knees to it. I said, you need to take it off there and start reading it. I don't know if I, when I gave it to her, if I told her to read it, you know. So, okay, Luke chapter 16. So pray for Joe going to Cambodia, dealing with the Buddhists there. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Okay, Luke 16, this is like the sinner's gospel. And my favorite verse in Luke is 19:10. Jesus Christ says he came to seek and save the lost. So I'm glad he saved me, but Lord, persuade me for the lost souls. So Luke 19, okay, and let's turn to Luke 16. Slow up, Bob. Slow me up, Lord. Okay, 16:19. Okay, now there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared scrumptiously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray that thou therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he says, No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So look at that. He's in hell, and he's able, when they had the separation there, they had the place of comfort and the place of torment, and the place of comfort with Abraham's bosoms, and all the saints of the Old Testament are waiting for the Christ to come. And he came and he descended and he set the captives free. He took them up to heaven with them. That compartment's empty now, but the rich man is still there. And he can see Abraham and talk to Abraham, and he still tells Abraham in verse 30, he says, No! They have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. He says, No. Why? His heart is stubborn. His will is selfish. And he's in hell now, and he's still not changing. I can envision, if I died in my religion when I was very religious, before age 29 when God saved me, everything I gave up for Jesus, to follow him, some of the pleasures, the lust in life, some of my covetous, not all of it, because I still wanted that. But what I gave up, I thought would surely merit me heaven. And I couldn't imagine if I was staying, but I know it now, in my lost condition, and thank God Christ came to save the lost. In my lost condition, if I would have died, in everything I gave up for Christ, I gave up the drugs, I never got drunk, I never did woman, I've been faithful to my wife my whole life. And look what I did. I would have said, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And Christ would have said, but I never knew you. Depart from me. And if he would have cast me into hell, I would have been just like this rich man. No, my way. And I would have probably screamed and cursed Christ forever. That's the way I see it. How's your heart? My heart was always bent on myself. My heart was full of covetousness, like Joe read. But I pointed fingers. I judged everybody. I was a hypocrite. And I was lost. I'm sure glad Christ came to seek and save the lost. But I didn't know that. I thought he just came to give some good rules to try to follow. Try to love your enemies. Try to do good. And most in the Christian churches are sitting there trying. I know. I talk to 30, 40 of them every week by His grace. And you boil down, and you know what that seems like the real core of the matter with that covetousness? I say, the real issue is you want what you want. And they say, boy, ain't that the issue. And you don't want to give it up to Christ. And they say, you're right, I don't. That's the sin in the heart. That's the covetous. This is the one the Holy Spirit goes after. Man, and once you're convicted of that covetousness, that pride, that self-righteousness, you say, I'm lost. Oh, and hallelujah, Christ came for the lost. That's what He came for. So I'm saying this to you that are lost here tonight. You need Jesus Christ. And in verse 31, He says, and He said to them, and here's this rich man talking to Abraham there, right across the chasm, and He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Will they be persuaded? And I know when I was lost, I says, Christ, persuade me. If you're truly risen, and this Bible says, persuade me you're risen from the dead. I can't believe it. I'm convicted of unbelief. Oh, you probably died on a historical cross, but historically you rose, you came out of that tomb in that same body, and Thomas touched you and says, my Lord and my God, I don't have that testimony. Convince me, Christ, if you're the Christ. Send somebody to convince me. Send somebody that knows you, Christ. And He did. He sent one girl in Hibbing, Minnesota. Her name was Julia, and she had faith in a living Christ. First time I met her, I said, you don't know reality. You're not even facing reality. Your husband's a drunk, he's a womanizer, and yet you care for him. She says, I care for his soul. I care for his soul. You know what David said in the Psalms? And us that the God's put care for in man's soul, Psalm 142:4 says, no man cares for my soul. Psalm 142:2. Dude, us believers here, us that have been saved, us lost ones that are saved, do you care for men's souls? Do you see they're lost? They're perishing. They're lost. They're going to be lost for all eternity. Do we care? I remember preaching in Singapore, and all they got is high-rise buildings. I said, if they were on fire, we'd go. We'd help them. Why? Because physically we could see it. But spiritually, it takes God, the Holy Spirit, to stamp this eternity in our eyes that we see men's souls as lost. Oh, for us that know Christ, ask Him, without a vision, we perish. How can we go through a day without seeing a lost soul? We're so taken up by just money, homes, family, and that, and Christ says, go into all the world. He says, preach to every creature. Now, He's able to do this in us. He's able to give us more grace, just like we sang. Or we ask Him for it. Give me grace for souls, Lord. I ask Him all the time. I'm in a store. I was up Walmart today. Give me grace to witness, Lord. I got some tracks on me, and I'm just looking up on the fields, and there's one guy, he didn't want to listen. Another guy didn't want to listen. So the third worker wide open. And he's trying to work his way to heaven. And I'm preaching, it ain't by works, it's by grace. And then he's coming under conviction. He's like, man, I better go back to work. So he says, I says, here's a track. So I gave him a track. He says, thanks a lot for talking to me. And what did I tell him? I told him he's lost, going to hell. And he's like, thanks for talking to me. Your good deeds are filthy rags. Thanks for caring for my soul. Bob in Pittsburgh, let me ask you a question, says my mom. I've been living at the same house for 55 years. Yeah, Mom? Why didn't everyone born again ever come to my door and talk to me about my soul, Bob? Why didn't one ever? She says, the cult comes all the time. We care for the souls of men. When Christ saves us, this is what He puts in us. The Holy Spirit, when He comes upon you, He will make you the witnesses. I'm convinced. I don't know about you, but I'm a missionary in the United States. I'm a missionary. And, you know, and I got my tracks to prove it in case. You know. I've got some Spanish tracks and everything. So, but there again, I'm always beating up my flesh with the Scriptures and saying, shut up, flesh! I'm putting the tracks here, and Lord, use me. Now, my flesh wants to be concerned with the world and the things of the world and everything. How about the things of Christ? Are we persuaded in this eternal kingdom? Are we persuaded there's an eternity and this life is like a vapor, a moment of time? That all eternity. This wasn't no parable Christ was speaking. He said there was a man. That poor guy's still in hell. He still won't listen. His heart is still stubborn. And it will be forever too. And he's going to have a resurrection in John chapter 5. He says there's a resurrection of the death, resurrection of condemnation, and a resurrection of life. That's all he's got to look forward to, is poor resurrection of condemnation. And poor lost Roman Catholics think it's purgatory, and they're paying for their sins, and now they've got a resurrection. And I was the same, but he saved the lost sinner like me, and I can't thank him enough. Am I going to just leave him perish unwarned? Am I going to let him perish? Naturally I am, but supernaturally, spiritually, Lord, fill me. Lord, I'm praying. Open my mouth. Lord, let me speak of kingdom things, eternal things. Oh, that you young ones were persuaded that Jesus is God. That you were persuaded that there was an eternity. You got an eternal soul that's going to live forever. Because if you were persuaded like that, you just want to run where you want to run. You start running to the Bible. You start praying. That God would persuade you. That the Scriptures would persuade you. If we could be earned heaven by righteousness, Christ would have never had to die. Oh, that we would be persuaded. Okay, let's look on an example of persuasion in Acts, the Apostle Paul, that God used so mightily. Acts chapter 26. Afterwards, anybody have any questions on this? After we're over, you can ask some questions if you'd like. I just pray God would form some hearts and some men here for lost souls. And you know what? In my religious life, I never even cared for lost souls. I didn't even know what a lost soul was. And I know when he saved me, I says, thank you, Lord, that you saved me by your grace. You put your spirit in me. I know I'm saved by your grace. I know your power is in me, Lord, because I see you overcoming things in my life that I could never overcome. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for new life. I'm persuaded, Lord, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're risen from the dead. Thank you, Father. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm persuaded. And now, Lord, persuade me on the lost condition of men. Hey, we all got tribulations and trials in life. You know, if you wait till the tribulations and trials are over, you'll never talk to nobody. They're never going to be over until we get to heaven. You're going to have them until we die. Jesus says, hey, you're going to have tribulations. It's a big good cheer. I've overcome the world. If our hope is only in this life, we're of all men to be pitied, it says. So, it's Christ. Okay, so here's our apostle. He's persuading men. Now, I don't usually listen to arguments, you know, and I think sometimes we Reformed get kind of hyper with things. Oh, yeah, God's got to save them, but you can't persuade them. God's got to do that. Then watch what God does with the Apostle Paul persuading men. He says, you can persuade them. So, Lord, give me persuading grace. You know, and as I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching this to myself. Jeez, when was the last time I'm persuading my two lost daughters, Sandra and Mary? When was I persuading them? Lord, I pray for them kind of flippantly. I almost halfway give up on them. And now I need persuading grace. I need this renewed in me, Lord. I pray when I go home, you know, somebody walk by me and say, that guy's weeping. What's wrong? My daughters are lost. That's what's wrong. They're going to an eternal hell. They're lost. Who's going to persuade them? Send me, Lord. You've stamped eternity in my eyes, Lord. Oh, that he may stamp eternity in our eyes to see men as poor lost souls. That you go where you're going daily and you don't see the souls of men, that the Holy Spirit would make us uncomfortable. And say, hey, how about eternity? How about eternity? How about those poor lost souls right in front of you? Oh, here's, I'll give you an easy one. An easy one, somebody's wearing a cross. I had 10 of them this week, and 9 out of 10 responded. You know, and
hey, nice cross you got on. Oh, thank you. They look at it. Thank you. So if we could be good to get to heaven, why did he die up there? Oh, that's a good question.
Or I say to him,
hey, that's a nice cross. Do you know him? Remember, if he's on the cross, more likely they're Catholics. I say, well, he ain't on there no more. He's risen from the dead. Yeah, but I'm a Catholic. Well, yeah, don't you go to church on Easter? Oh, yeah. Well, he's risen from the dead. Oh, you're right. Keep talking to me. Well, what was I just doing? Becoming a Catholic to a Catholic. Then I may win him. Then I may have an opportunity to become what he is, to start lifting up Christ. Down with the pride of man, down with religion, and up with Christ. Oh, Lord, make me a persuader of men's souls. Persuade me, Lord, for eternal things, not these temporary things. Where is it going to take all these temporary things to? And there's his souls of man. What's more important? What's more valuable? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's he going to give in exchange for his soul? I remember witnessing on the street, and somebody says, well, I don't know, what do you think of Howard Hughes? And the one witness says he'd give up his $4 billion to hear what you're hearing today if he died in his sins. And once you see eternity, this rich man's seen it. He's in hell. Are we persuaded? That God would persuade us. That the God would do it. Okay, here's Apostle Paul. He's persuading men now. Okay, and let's start at verse 12. 26:12 of Acts. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission for the chief priests, remember, Paul, in Acts chapter 9, his testimony, he was breathing out threatenings. Every breath he drew was to kill the cause of Christ. They're coming against Moses. They're coming against the law. They're coming against the altar. They're coming against the sacrifice. And they're replacing everything with Christ. It always was Christ. That's just the shadows. He didn't know it. The shadows were substance. He needed Christ. And remember, on the road to Damascus, Christ arrested him. You know, what are people going to do? Think they're going to overcome the kingdom of Christ? The gates of hell can't prevail. Christ has prevailed. So, there's Paul, and he's given his testimony. And midnight, O king, I saw a light from heaven, verse 13, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So I seen a young fellow witnessing on the street the other day, and he's just walking on there. He's doing a pretty good show with throwing his hands up, and it's like, I know you. I just talked to you in a thrift store the other week, and you're still doubting your salvation. You still think it's works, and you're doing your theatrics. And he's saying, in Romans 10, it says, whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And I don't want to embarrass him or not. And I'm kind of under my breath, says, yeah, how are they going to believe unless one is sent? How are you going to be sent unless God sends you? God didn't send you. You're sending yourself. Because I've been knowing you, and you've been founded in the flesh, and you're preaching an easy believism gospel. You're not preaching life born from above, new life in Christ. You're just saying a few words to make it look good. And I'll probably talk to him next week again, get him off of the stage, and he'll be floundering. He'll be trying to work his way to heaven like he's been the last 12, 13 years. But it looks good when he's preaching there. But he's not sent. Why? He's not born from above. God sends you. God equips us. I don't know about you, but he sent me. This ain't my will. This is his will. I'm born from above. I got a new will. I got a new life in Christ. So, there's Paul giving his testimony to Agrippa, and you look at Acts. He's always given it.
You know what? I give my testimony too. Poor lost religious person. Christ saved me. Christ revealed his resurrection to me. He has persuaded me. He is the Son of God. He is risen. My conscience is cleansed from all sin. I had a guy yesterday, just talking to him at the store. He just says, congratulations. I says, yeah, God did it. God did it. And I must get two or three of them a week. And you know, people have never witnessed. Oh, you can't just go out and tell your testimony. I'm sorry, you're the one, you pastor, when was the last time you witnessed to somebody? That's why they can't give no testimonies when they stand up here. You know, what are they doing? Religion? Is everybody in the congregation given to covetousness? Making the money? I was, but Christ delivered me. Souls of men are more important than that stuff. And only He can put that in our heart. He came for the lost. So here's some of Paul's persuasion. Okay, he's given it to him, and he told him what God sent him to do. And then verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first of them. So, hey, are we disobedient to the heavenly vision to seek and save the lost? But showed them first of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews cut me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none of these things, none of the things that those which the prophets of Moses did say should come. I'm in 26:23 of Acts. Okay, then Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the Gentiles and the people. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made thee mad. But he says, I am not mad, most Festus, but speak the words in the truth of soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely, and I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from thee, for the things were not done in the corner. Now, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest the prophets. And Agrippa said unto Paul, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Are any of us persuading people? Do you have a persuading ministry where you go back and back? I got a restaurant owner in Pittsburgh. I've been there for 15 years trying to persuade him. He says, look, Bob, I carry your little Gideon Bible any place I go around the world. I carry it in my briefcase. I says, Nikki, do you ever take it out and read it? He goes, no. And I says, Nikki, I says, you need Christ. He says, I know I do. He says, but there's the judge who opened the courthouse. He's going, go talk to him. I go and says, hey, Nikki, send me over. He says, talk to me. I told him about the law was given to shut our mouths, that Christ is the end of the law. And he says, thanks, you know. So I'm done coming home from witnessing one time in town, and I have my tie on. So I see Nikki at the Greek place, this Greek church. I stop in. Here's Nikki. I says, Nikki, what are you doing down here? He says, I'm babysitting the governor of Pennsylvania. I says, where's your priest at? I want to talk to him. He says, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, Bob. I can't send you here, but I can send you to the governor. Go talk to him. Right now, I got to talk to you. Nikki sent me over. Yeah, what do you want? You got any grace yet? He says, oh, we need grace. So I explained to him, hey, the law was given that every mouth would be shut, and it's the grace of Jesus Christ that saves, and only He can do it. Governor, you need grace. He says, not right now. I'm too busy. He walks away.
But what an open door! And it's like, I've been persuading Nikki for 15 years. And by grace, I'll continue. But, oh, Lord, give me persuading grace to go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Give me grace, Lord. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So, question mark, fellas. Us that win souls, and praise the Lord. I'm so thankful Mark goes, and Joe goes, and Joe goes, and Penn goes, and for the other laborers here. Praise the Lord. I think percentage-wise, this is probably the highest church that witnesses in Pennsylvania, you know. And He can save by many, and He can save by few. 1 Samuel 14:6. So God's so powerful. So anyway, it's His grace that's sufficient. I forget where I was going, so we'll go to another place. Okay, Lord must have took that thought from me, or it's just old age creeping in on me. Okay, so look at the. We're going to stay a few more in Acts 19, This is the persuasion that the Spirit is doing with Paul. 19 verse 8. And this is after he's converted, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now, you young kids in here, you don't have to be persuaded of the kingdom of the world. All you got to do is see it, and you're in it, and that's how you're born. But I wish you were persuaded of the things of God. Eternal things. Christly things. Your eternal souls. Your scriptures, your prayer. To know God. I wish you were persuaded. And I pray that God would give me persuading prayers. There again, I quoted it before, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping shall bear precious seed. So my question to us that have been out laboring for a while, and I can almost assure you, I'm not sure, God knows those are his. How many of you think he had weeping over Philadelphia for souls of men today? You could almost say, probably nobody, huh? Oh, yeah, sold on covetousness in the world and the things of the world? Yeah, we'll shed a tear when somebody dies, but how about dying going to hell forever? They're souls. They're eternal souls. Do we care for souls of men? If we're born again, we got care for them. And all of them, may the Lord increase it. May increase our persuading and give us his persuading power. May he increase our tears. Lord, that we could stay in that throne of grace to see Christ as he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I've gathered you in like a mother hen would gather her chicks and you wouldn't come. And then, that's the way I feel in my heart toward poor lost Catholics in Pittsburgh. Oh, Lord, give me tears for these men. People say, well, how'd you do that? How'd you do that, Bob? I didn't do it. I prayed. I asked for grace, and he gave me persuading grace. He burdened me for the souls of men. This is a work of God. These are spiritual things. This is the kingdom of God. So, he is able. So, let me pray. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, thank you for the word. Thank you for moving on men by the apostles and prophets and the Psalms, Lord, in your word. I pray for the young ones, Lord, that you'd burden to their lost condition. Oh, Lord, let them search the scriptures. I pray that they would ask you to search their hearts. Lord, it means nothing. All these works and religion, and we think we're good judging others. I don't mean nothing on that day, Jesus, when the world will face you, Lord. Oh, and those that don't know you, Lord, they're lost forever. I pray, Holy Spirit, persuade men. And give us, those that know you here, Lord, give us persuading grace that we could persuade the souls of men, Lord. Don't let us be unburdened. Don't let us just pass men like they don't have eternal souls. So, just thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are our light because you're the light of the world. In your wonderful name I pray, Lord. Amen.